Hey, hey, hey! Someone waves a blue bandana from a broken window in an attempt to surrender. I can't help but laugh. What do they think this is, the Wild West? Zeke holds his hand up, halting us from replacing our clips and continuing lighting their ass up. Hands up in the air, no other than Apollo walks out of the front door, idiotically unarmed. He's much older than any of our guys. White hair peeks out from under his bandana wrapped around his head that is stained with sweat. Deep wrinkles frame his eye and mouth, and his white beard gives Santa a run for his game. You got 3 seconds to explain why you attacked my club before I pump a bullet in your skull, Zeke threatens.
Look, man, it wasn't personal. It was just business, Apollo states, like that makes up for everything.
Waking my men up with a drive-by is about as fucking personal as it gets. Zeke tilts his head to the side, his tone edging on irritated. Not to mention your weak-ass intimidation tactics of spooking his old lady, I counter. It had to be one of them who drove by Jillian and Zeke's house.
Whoa, that wasn't us,
he points at me.
I admit we initiated war with the drive-by, but we didn't stalk down no one's old lady, he snorts.
Aiming my gun, finger heavy on the trigger, I smirk. Well, welcome to war with the outlaws, bitch, I sneer and lay into the trigger. Zeke and the rest of the men follow suit, firing their weapons. Bodies drop to the ground like flies, the smell of gunpowder and blood thick in the air. Return fire nearly misses us as the bastards shoot over their shoulder as they run for their lives. After the area is cleared of either men who took cover or are dead, we lower our guns. Coughing up blood, Apollo lies on the ground, holding his side that is obviously wounded. None of his men running to his aid tells me how much of a club this bullshit MC really is. Turning my bike off, I put it on the kickstand and walk over to Apollo, Zeke in tow. Placing my weapon in my holster, I pull out my buck knife and kneel down. This is our retaliation. It won't be easy, it won't be fair, and it won't be quick. I place the blade to his neck, and his eyes widen.
Please, let's make a deal,
he begs, tears filling his eyes, his hands flinging everywhere to keep me away. Machete grabs his arms and pins them down like something in WWE. We only make deals with clubs we recognize, and your bullshit fly-by-night Boy Scout group is not one, I clip. He wants to play the sinner, but can't handle the monsters that linger in the same hell. He's a fucking poser, who's about to give this city a wake-up call. We are the Alpha Club. We own this city and have earned it through blood and respect. We will continue to do that, no matter how deep we dig our graves.
You have someone much higher than you wanting you wiped from Las Vegas, and when that deed is accomplished, I'll meet you in hell.
He coughs before spitting blood in my face. Aw, the anger stage when the victim finally realizes he's not talking his way out. Save me a seat, I sneer, fisting my knife. Do it, Zeke orders the kill. I slide the blade across his neck before impaling it in his throat and twisting it. His body goes 3 shades lighter instantly as his life drains on the desert floor. I feel nothing as I take his life. My heart doesn't skip a beat, and my conscience doesn't come to the surface. This is what I was raised to do. Protect my club, my president. I've lost count of the souls I've taken to make my club what it is today. I've accepted my darkness and the monster that I've been claimed to be. Machete howls like a fucking wolf as Apollo pales, his eyes going still. A couple of motorcycles roar to life, grabbing our attention, and jets off into the desert. Machete and Gats fire their guns in the direction of the running cowards, but they don't hit their target. Want me to go after them? I ask. Zeke shakes his head. No. Let the word get out that we're not going anywhere.
Alessandra. We got a 425. Caller wasn't sure what she saw. Could have been a 413. The dispatch displays. Raven gave me an awkward eye, obviously not sure what the hell the codes mean. possible gun. The witness isn't sure what she heard. 731, on our way. Copy that. I head toward the outskirts of town. The location on the MDT indicating that the situation is almost out of my jurisdiction. If Jillian were still on the job, she'd race me to it. You okay? You look tired, Raven observes. Slept at a friend's place and didn't sleep well, I mutter, narrowing my brows. I hate how observant she is all of the time. I'm fine. I lift my chin, trying to appear unaffected, but I am exhausted. I'm sure you are. You're tough, she smiles, before turning to look out the window. What the fuck does that mean? She doesn't know me. Pulling up to the scene, I instantly notice the motorcycles. Coming to a complete stop, my heart skips a beat at what the hell I just pulled up on. What? What is it? Raven asks, trying to sit up in her seat to look over the hill. Stay here, I order. Undoing my seatbelt, I notice Raven does the same. I said fucking stay put. I point at her, my tone sharp. Her face goes stoic and she sits back in her seat with a frown. Closing my door, I head over the hill to get a better look. My shaky hand on my gun, boots thudding against the asphalt, I come face to face with a fucking massacre. The building of the Lost Bastards, a graveyard. Sweat drips down my back as I lose my breath. There are bodies everywhere, the smell of bullets and death thick. One of the outlaws turns and familiar cold eyes find mine. His hair is in a bun, his leather cut displaying his club's colors. The Sin City Outlaws. Felix pulls a cigarette away from his mouth with bloody hands as he watches me, blowing smoke into the wind. He doesn't seem afraid of me or concerned at what I'm witnessing. He looks like a beautifully broken savage in blood, in leather. Looking at the bloodbath, I suddenly realize this is the club of the Lost Bastards. I did this. I gave Felix the missing puzzle piece to complete his masterpiece of anarchy. Looking away, I think of my options. I could call this in, and for once, the outlaws have been caught in their game, and they could go away for life. I glance back, noticing Zeke talking to one of his men, completely oblivious to me being here. If I turn it in, what does that mean for Jillian and the kids? What does that mean for me if I arrest the man I need intel from? Grabbing my radio on my shoulder, I lean toward it. 731, there is nothing here. I choke on my words, my stomach nodding with alarm at what the fuck I'm doing. 731, copy that. Turning away from the scene, I head back to my cruiser, my eyes glossy as I want to cry. My legs feel like weights and my hands are trembling. My chest feels cold, and I feel like I may vomit any second with what I just did. Alessandra, Felix hollers after me. I don't turn back. I keep my head down and pick up my pace. Fucking stop, Felix barks, grabbing my arm and whipping me around to face him. His wild eyes search mine as the wind wraps around me like a vice, sending a shiver up my spine. His hair is beautiful and spotted with blood, his hands stained with another's life. What are you doing here? He asks gravelly. Swallowing hard, I look past him, none of his men looking in our direction. I'm not here, I mutter through clenched teeth. I just want to make something clear. You weren't here and you saw nothing. My head whips in his direction. Or what? I bite out, and he steps into my space. His hard stare looking down at me as I glare up at him. You get in that fucking car and call this in, they will kill you. Do you understand? He states so seriously, my heart skips a beat. Why do you care? I tilt my head to the side. If they kill me, he'd be off babysitting duty. Because they'd send me to do it, and I don't want... He looks away, his Adam's apple bobbing as he swallows. His face is hard, his eyes looking above me. Don't want to what? I push. Don't be stupid, he mutters, before his sight falls onto mine. Closing my eyes, I lower my head. Too late, I whisper. I've already done so much stupid shit that there's no turning back. We both have issues, Alessandra, but if you do something stupid like try and take us down, I'll have to kill you, and that is an issue for me. He points at himself. I scoff, not sure what he means by that. Opening my eyes, Felix's lips crash against mine, and a buzz of electricity zips through my body as I sway into him. Lost in the world of a convict, I almost forgot all the death around us, until the smell of blood wafts around us, mixed with grains of the empty desert. I'm a cop. He'd kill me, because that is his code, and I need to remind myself of that line. Sinking my teeth into his bottom lip, I bite down hard. He winces and pulls back. Blood drips from his lip as he glares at me with beautifully damaged eyes. His blood-stained thumb swiping at his lip I just nailed with my teeth. So you like it rough? He raises a brow, his voice full of arrogance. Rolling my eyes, I turn to walk away, and he smashes his lips to mine again. Brows furrowed, I push him hard, and he chuckles at my reaction. Rage fills my chest. This is all just a fucking game to him. Don't do something stupid, Alessandra, he hollers, and I raise my hand and flip him off as I continue to walk over the hill back to my cruiser. My heart jackhammers against my chest, my lips tingling where he kissed me, my panties damp from the desire throbbing deep in my core. I don't know how much longer I can keep my guard up. The desire to have his beard between my legs is overpowering my badge. Hands sweaty, mouth dry, I walk away from the biggest bust of not only my career, but also the station's. Climbing inside, Raven looks at me with wide eyes. Well, what was it? Nothing, I reply softly. Sniffling in the snot threatening to drip from my nose, I avoid looking at her. Doing a U-turn in the road, I head back to the city, avoiding eye contact with Raven the whole time. We have a saying in my line of work, the criminals are the wolves, the citizens the sheep, and us law enforcement are the sheepdogs. My soul was just ripped from my chest by a fucking wolf, and I'll never be the same again. You have something? Raven points at my mouth, her brows furrowed. Pulling down my visor, I notice blood staining my upper lip. Using the back of my hand, I wipe at Felix's blood, his DNA claiming me, marking me and poisoning me all at the same time. Nothing, my lips are chapped. The desert and all. I shrug, slamming the visor shut.
Felix. What was that? Mac asks, noticing Alessandra pull away in her cruiser, the red plastic container containing gasoline in hand. I'm not sure what all he just saw, so I shrug and light a cigarette instead of answering him right away. I don't know what compelled me to fucking kiss her, but the sting in my lip has my dick harder than a brick, and my gut twisted with guilt that I'm betraying my brotherhood. Alessandra, I growl, wiping at my lip to make sure there's no more blood. She gonna be a problem? He looks at me with a sideways glance. Nah. I shake my head, eyeing the dry blood on my fingernails. Flicking my cigarette into the wind, I blow smoke into the air. It lands on a trail of gas, leading a path around each of the bodies and into the clubhouse. I need you to do some digging for me, I state, not ask.
What's up?
Look into an officer, Brock Lucas. He was killed on the job, and I want to know if there was some shady shit going down.
You got it.
Mac pats my back, heading back to the SUV, no doubt hitting up his laptop. He loves shit like this, hacking and finding pieces of crap nobody wants anyone to find. He lives for the personal challenge, and arrogantly admits no firewall will keep him out. We're done here. Let's get before we're seen, Zeke orders, the clubhouse now in full flame. Black smoke dances into the sky, the fire hot and killing any of our DNA.
Too late, I whisper,
looking in the direction of where Alessandra was last. Sitting at the counter, nursing a beer, I scratch at the blood under my nails, replaying everything that happened today. Will clubs back off, knowing we can handle our shit without the mafia? Will Alessandra talk about what she saw?
Hey, I got some information on that officer,
Mac says excitedly as he slides up next to me. Not sure if Jillian is around, I stand and head to the room we have church in, Mac following.
First off, there are no birth records for Alessandra Lucas, so I looked into the adoption agencies, only to find her dad is not her real dad.
Brock's record with the department has many write-ups as he didn't follow the rule book. As for the day he died, Mac shakes his head.
I couldn't find shit, not even the name of the suspect that was shot. Someone didn't want anyone to find this shit, man. His partner's statement doesn't match what happened at the scene,
Mac explains with a conflicted look.
So he wasn't shot?
I don't know. His partner is the only one that knows, Mac continues. So we need to find the partner that disappeared. I take a sip of my beer.
2 steps ahead of you,
Mac says, typing into his computer before turning the screen around. Looks like he's residing in the ghetto about an hour from here.
You up for a little ride? I ask.
We ain't looking for trouble, man, Mac shakes his head. Just information. I laugh, setting my beer down.
Well, that's no fun.
I'm always looking for trouble. The adrenaline rush is what guides me through my darkest days. Zeke struts into the chapel with white shit on his shoulder. Mac jumps out of his seat, pointing at him.
What the fuck is that?
Zeke looks down before brushing it off like it's nothing.
Puke, I think, Zeke mumbles.
Looks like bird shit, I silently laugh.
Or like you just jerked off and couldn't find your load.
Mac raises a brow, keeping a safe distance from Zeke. There is something seriously wrong with you. I tilt my beer toward Mac.
I need to get my hands dirty, go for a ride or something. This domestic shit is starting to get to me,
Zeke groans.
Well, you're in the right place, because I'm looking for a little trouble, I smile with a shit-eating grin.
Chapter 5. Felix. Driving to the address Mac gave us, we end up in the ghetto. It's a shitty neighborhood for a retired cop. We pull up to a house that is missing siding, has a broken window at the very top, and shingles are missing from the roof. There's a black Buick in the driveway that is chipped and has tape holding plastic over the back window.
You sure this is the address? I ask, pulling my helmet off. My hair gets caught in it, and I have to untangle it. I swear I should cut this shit, but the chicks seem to love it.
Yeah, this is it, Mac replies confidently. Throwing my leg over my seat, I notice the neighbors eyeing us suspiciously. They look like crackheads, skinny, thin, dull hair and dark bags under their eyes. Their house matches Kelly's in upkeep. I jut my chin at them, and they look away quickly. Respect. It feels good. Machete knocks on the front door and nobody answers. He knocks again and I notice the curtain move in the bay window located at the front of the house.
He's in there, I state. Kelly, Zeke shouts. We need to talk.
Suddenly a bullet clips through the front door, snagging Machete in the arm. He hisses, grabbing at the bloody wound. Not fucking around, I kick the door open. It slams into Kelly, knocking him on his ass, his gun skidding along the dirty floor. He reaches for the gun, and I slam my boot into his face as hard as I can. Busting his nose, I can feel the crack beneath my foot. Zeke grabs the gun, and Machete stomps into the house and grabs Kelly by the stained shirt before laying a series of punches to his face. His strength more than he knows, he's about to kill the motherfucker. "Easy, brother. We still need him alive for information." I try and hold him back. Machete is a machine that can't be controlled unless he wants to be controlled. Machete breathes heavily, eyeing Kelly like dinner before tossing his limp body to the dirty floor. Machete wipes the blood from his arm and smears it across Kelly's face. Kelly cringes, his face painted like something from an Indian movie as it marks under his eyes and forehead. Machete growls, holding his arm as he glares at a whimpering Kelly. Kelly wipes his face of the blood, scooting to his ass. His eyes are wide with fear, his bottom lip trembling as blood slips from the bridge of his nose down his chin. "You look like you've seen a ghost," I imply, tilting my head to the side.
"You guys! It was you guys who did this to me!"
he sobs, and I furrow my brows in confusion. "What, broke your nose?" I shrug. "Because you kind of had that coming with your shitty hospitality. It smells like body odor and pizza. The house has no lights and looks trashed."
"It was your kind that took my partner from me,"
he points with a shaky hand.
"You took my life,"
he continues hysterically. Zeke grabs a chair from the table and sits in it casually, and Mac raids the man's kitchen like he normally does. I swear Mac is a bottomless pit when it comes to eating. "Tell us what you know about Alessandra and her father," Zeke demands with a no-bullshit tone. Kelly sits up straighter, sniffling in blood, his eyes watering from the pain. His hair is greasy and unruly, his beard outgrown and disgusting. He looks like a bum.
"What about them?"
he replies vaguely. Having enough of the games, I raise my gun to his head, the chamber clicking. "I'm about 3 seconds from blowing your fucking brains out if you don't tell me what I want to know," I threaten. I can feel Zeke staring at me, knowing he's not impressed with my impatience or attitude.
"Okay, okay."
Kelly raises his hands, his body stiff as I might pull the trigger any moment.
"Brock found her in this place, held underground. There were 15 kids of all ages and genders. Investigators conveyed the missing children were taken from tourists and used for training purposes. Take a kid, train them to fight and kill," he explains. "It was the Sin City Outlaws' little army, if you ask me,"
he spits, and I snarl with that inaccurate assumption. "What the fuck does that mean?" Zeke sneers.
"Cross! He was in charge of the whole operation, and everyone knew it,"
Kelly informs with a shaky voice. I glance at Zeke with wide eyes. This is news to us that Cross was running an underground operation like that.
"We found parents to several of the kids, but a few of them didn't know their names. Hell, they didn't even know their birthdays. They were taken so young. Alessandra was one of the ones who didn't know anything about herself. Told Brock her name was Brown Five."
He begins to laugh hysterically, and it unnerves me.
"She didn't know her name, but knew how to break someone's neck and shoot a gun at age 5. How ironic," he snorts.
"Jesus Christ," Zeke mumbles, rubbing his chin.
"Cross was, of course, cleared of all charges, because none of the kids actually saw him, just heard his name. We had one witness, but they went missing, and so Cross walked free. Nobody was fucking charged for what happened to those kids."
Kelly begins to cry, his back and forth of emotions telling me he might be high. "What happened to Brock?" I ask, biting my inner cheek.
"Cross found out that Brock adopted one of his prodigies. Brock's dying wish was that Cross let Alessandra go, and Cross said she was tainted goods anyway and ended his life right in front of me, before killing one of his own men to cover it up. He was going to kill me, but I ran, and I've been hiding ever since."
The man looks up at us with sad eyes. Tears slip from his eyes, but I'm unmoved.
"I'm a coward,"
he wails before grabbing the barrel of my gun and pressing his temple into it.
"Just kill me,"
he spits through gritted teeth. I jerk my gun from his head and grab him by the hair, making him look me in the eyes. "The Sin City Outlaws were not a part of that charade, I assure you," I tell him before tossing him back on his ass.
"You're gonna want to see this, brother,"
Max states to no one in particular from another room, his voice laced with shock. My gut twists, not liking the sound of this. "Keep an eye on him," I tell Machete, and follow Zeke and Mac into the living room. The couch is covered in plastic, and the coffee table is littered with crack and foils. On the wall are pictures of Alessandra of all ages, plastered like a collage of a serial killer's wet dream. Her at the gym, park, with Jillian, and us. It's stalking to a whole other level.
"This is some sick shit,"
Zeke mutters, pulling one of the photos of Jillian and Alessandra down. They're laughing together at what looks like a diner. Right in the middle of all the photos is one of a little brown-haired girl and a man in a cop uniform. Alessandra's dad, I presume. Pulling it from the wall, I stuff it in my cut. My spine feels stiff, my stomach sick. Striding into the hallway, I eye Kelly, who's obviously gone off the deep end. PTSD or some shit. My hands flex with an unknown urge I can't pinpoint. Jealousy? Rage? I don't like that he's been watching her without her knowing. Some of those photos were of her dressing, and I know she's not mine, but knowing what I do, I feel like I know her more than she knows herself. I have a responsibility to keep her safe now. "Stay away from Alessandra," I warn him. Head lowered, eyes hooded, I silently tell him the pain I will inflict him if he so much as looks her way. He shakes his head, sniffling and rocking back and forth.
"No, she needs my protection, especially from you. Your kind ruined her life, and mine, remember?"
he shouts, a blood vessel protruding from his forehead.
"She needs protection from herself,"
he mumbles before pulling at his hair and rocking like a madman. Alessandra isn't as innocent as anyone thinks. She's a darker breed, and I'm wanting to get to know her more and more with every piece to her puzzle I find out. "He's fucking lost it, and a liability," I tell everyone. Pulling my gun from my holster, I point it at him and fire a bullet right into his skull. Blood and brain matter paint the wall behind him as his head falls to his chest.
"God damn it, Felix," Zeke scorns me.
"Needed to be done," I insist, tucking my gun in my pocket. If anyone was a danger to Alessandra, it was him, and I'll be damned if anyone stands in my way of Alessandra. If I want her, I will have her. "We need to get out of here, and fast," Mac insists, looking out the window.
"Machete, make sure the neighbors are aware they didn't see shit," Zeke orders, his tone indicating the bodies will pile up if they say a word.
"Clean that blood off his face with bleach, too. Last thing we need is fucking DNA on the body," Zeke scorns.
"I'll just torch the place,"
Machete shrugs like it's no big deal.
"Fucking firebug,"
Zeke shakes his head. Stepping out of the house, I inhale a sharp breath. The smell of the air is mixed of gunpowder and metallic.
Why did I kill him? Why do I care?
The questions run through my head like a bad memory. Taking one step at a time down the porch, I can't help but want to protect Alessandra now. It was an obligation at first, and now my priority. It's no wonder I'm attracted to Alessandra. She doesn't have blue blood running through her like she thinks. She's much darker, and our inner beasts are speaking to one another without us even knowing it. It all makes sense now. Knowing the information I do, there's no stopping me from taking what I want.
Alessandra. Driving to my house, I hear the familiar sound of a motorcycle. Slamming the driver's side door shut, Felix pulls into my driveway and cuts the engine. "What are you doing here?" I ask. taking you back to the club where you belong. He raises a challenging brow. Jesus, they just won't give up, will they? Don't you think this is a little ridiculous? Nobody is coming after me. I look around the block to indicate my point. It's empty and as pristine as the Brady Bunch. Just following orders, sweetheart, he smarts, and I roll my eyes. Yeah, you look like a rule-following kind of guy, I mumble, low enough he can't hear me. Turning on my heel, I head inside the house. Ma? Nobody answers. I wonder if they already came and got her. The door shuts behind me, and Felix stands there. His eyes are darker than normal, his stare unfamiliar. His big shoulders flex as he crosses his arms, his stance wide. He takes up my whole living room and looks powerful. I've never brought a man home before, not that I invited this one. Get your shit, he orders. I ain't got all day. Asshole, I mutter. Pete 571 runs into the room with his tongue hanging out of his mouth and ears flopping. He's excited to see me and is running at full speed. Whoa! Felix tenses, pulling his gun out and aiming at Pete. The way he holds his gun, the look on his face, I instantly have to clench my thighs to stifle the throbbing. You can tell a lot about a man by the way he handles his gun. Out of instinct, I step in front of his aim, my hands raised. No! Felix flicks his gaze to me before back at the dog. Put the gun down, he's just a dog, I demand. My arms raised in the air, I take notice of how Felix's eyes rake down my body slowly. It does things to me. Not just a dog. These motherfuckers eat my kind. They're fucking fur missiles, he insists. Lowering his gun, he raises his pant leg and a set of teeth marks scar his calf. I laugh, bending down to pick up my dog. I still need to find a name for him besides Pete 571. He won't be a department-issued dog. He will be my family. Well, you know they're just teaching idiots not to run one bite at a time, I wink, trying my hardest not to laugh at Felix and his fear of German shepherds. Not funny, he sneers, but it is. Setting Pete 571 down, I go pack a small bag, making sure to grab clean clothes and my toothbrush. Did you find anything out about my dad? I ask lightly. I'm still looking into it. But I can say he's not your dad, Felix tells me. I already know that part, I inform with a deep sigh. Hearing it confirmed doesn't make it sit any easier, though. I wonder how my dad would have told me. How I became his. There's a lot of questions I want to ask him and can't. Scooping up Pete 571, I bite back my emotions. I'm ready. Felix looks at me with a cold expression. That dog is not coming to my club. I raise a brow. If he doesn't, then I don't. Riding on the back of the motorcycle, my bag is tied to the back, and Pete 571 is in my lap. His face is in the wind and wet tongue hanging out. If I wouldn't know any better, I'd say he has a little biker in him. Felix shifts between my thighs, reminding me of his strong body between my legs, and my heart bucks at the same time my sex pulses with need. My hands want to run across his back and up his strong shoulders, to feel his lips against my ear and his hand in my hair. I wonder if he's a gentle lover or a ravaging one. Taking every breath with a bite of pain, or caressing and caring. Closing my eyes, I try to control my body's reaction to this man, my shaded thoughts that run rampant. It's no use, though. Felix makes me vulnerable when he's near, making a part of myself I knew was there, but masked, rise like a welcomed demon. I can't defend myself against what's inside of me around Felix, and that scares me. All of this scares me, whatever it is. Arriving at the clubhouse, Felix parks his bike and helps me off. The way his eyes rake me from top to bottom doesn't go unnoticed. My skin prickles beneath his intrusive stare. Looking deep in his eyes, you can tell he's lethal and dangerous, but it's laced with something softer than before. Tilting my head to the side, I wonder what's changed. There's something there that wasn't there before in the way he looks at me. Tearing his gaze from mine, he grabs my bag and throws it over his shoulder before strutting toward the clubhouse without a word. Pete 571 in my hands, I follow in tow. Walking in the clubhouse, Jillian's eyes light up at the dog. She runs over to it and instantly squishes his face. "Oh, my God, where did you get him?" she coos. "He was in the bloodline of my father's canine," I tell her softly. Her eyes lift to mine in knowing. I look away, not liking the vulnerability I suddenly feel. "Where are the babies?" I ask, noticing I don't hear a screaming child. "They're down for the night," she explains with relief.
"What the hell is that?"
Machete asks, stepping toward me. He's such a big man he could play for the NFL, a fucking lumberjack at best. His red hair is everywhere, his piercing eyes laid right on Pete 571. Maybe bringing him wasn't the best idea. "A dog," I clip. Machete looks at me before Pete. Then a big smile breaks his serial killer look as he pets his brown fur.
"Never been up close to a German shepherd that isn't trying to eat my face off," he chuckles, and a nervous laugh racks my chest.
Machete doesn't do a lot of talking. He seems to be the most brooding, mysterious one around here. If anyone scares me, it's him.
"What's his name?"
They call him Pete 571.
"Ah, we have to rename him. He ain't no police dog. Look at him. He looks like an outlaw."
He grabs Pete 571 under the arms and lifts him from my hold without warning. Holding him up in the air like a scene from The Lion King, he looks him over.
"Yeah, look at him,"
he mutters under his breath, admiring Pete.
"His name is Rocky," he says with force.
He cuts me a hard look, as if I better agree. I hold my hands up in surrender. Only an idiot would disagree with a man like Machete. "Rocky it is," I nod. "It's better than Pete, that's for sure." The rest of the patched members surround Machete, all talking and cooing over the German Shepherd. All but Felix, that is. He's leaning against the bar counter, eyeing me with that look again. Like he hates me, but secretly wants me.
"Don't mind him," Jillian whispers in my ear. "Zeke told me a canine was brought in by the FBI and Felix covered for his dad to escape, only to have his dad killed by a rival gang that same night. I think he blames himself."
I turn where I stand looking at Jillian with panicked eyes. "You're fucking with me," I ask. "I hope." She gives a sympathetic smirk. "That's what I was told." Hanging my head, I suddenly feel like a bitch for bringing Pete 571, Rocky. But what was I supposed to do? Leave him at the house? My stepmom left him when she went to June's. A puppy can't just be left unattended. "Relax, he'll get over it.
He's just playing the brooding biker, she sasses. Taking my gaze from her to him, he's a sight to behold. His elbows are on the bar, his hooded eyes focused solely on me. Those thick lashes and broken eyes hold me where I stand, and I suddenly become aware of my every breath as I stare back. If I didn't know any better, I'd say those are fuck-me eyes, Jillian jeers, before sashaying off down the hall like a know-it-all. Crossing my arms, I inhale a breath. I hope Felix doesn't come on to me. I'm too much of a slut to say no to such a sexy man. Brooding bad boy, damaged. He's a wet dream, one I'd like to cuff and show him who's in control. Brock, baby! The familiar voice of my mother catches my attention by the bar. She's wearing a baby blue shirt and gray sweatpants, her hair everywhere. Mom? Oh my God, they did bring her here. She walks up to Mac, her cheeks rosy red as she bats her eyes at him.
I'm Mac, Mrs. Lucas, Mac insists, a look of worry crossing his handsome face.
My stepmom doesn't seem to care as she grabs Mac's hands.
Dance with me. It's been forever since you've danced with me, she coos, and Mac sighs before giving in and dancing with her.
I start to say something, but then shut my mouth. I have no words.
Oh, yeah. Your mom is here and keeps thinking Mac is your dad, Jillian informs.
Shoot me now. I run my hands down my face and Jillian laughs.
Hey, she's safe here, and Carola loves her. They're bunking together even.
Pinching the bridge of my nose, I nod, trying to see this as a good thing, but this is all happening so quickly I can't decide how I feel. I guess she'll be better here than a nursing home. She won't be eating Manwich right out of the can. And maybe keeping her busy helping around here will help with her straying episodes.
All right, give her the damn dog back, Zeke barks, and Rocky is suddenly shoved in my arms. He can stay, but he shits you're cleaning it up, Zeke informs.
He eyes me with softer eyes than I've ever seen. I wonder if it's because he knows what I saw today.
Yeah, or Bomber Jack can lick it up, Gats jokes, elbowing the prospect in the chest, and the rest of the guys cackle and laugh.
I'm going to take him to my room, I reply, noticing the crowd starting to get hectic with the dark hours. It's probably best if I tuck in for the night. In my room, Rocky is asleep by my side as I listen to the music gently pounding through the walls. It's starting to get wild out there, the smell of cheap perfume and cigarette smoke creeping its way from under my door as the night tires on. I'm not tired, not the least bit. Curiosity has me wanting to explore the nightlife of the Sin City Outlaws. I'm intrigued how wild they get. It's no lie, I like good music, good beer, and a good time. Just because I'm a cop doesn't mean I have to be a nun. Sitting up on the bed, Rocky's ears perk as his eyes snap to attention. Should I go check it out? Maybe just look? I bite my nails nervously, staring down at Rocky. I could lie and say I'm getting a drink or something. Rocky tilts his head to the side, eyeing me like he has no idea what I'm talking about. Jesus, I'm talking to a dog. What has my life come to? Throwing the blankets off me, I tiptoe to the door and open it. The smell of drugs is strong, and Sound of Back in Black by AC/DC is playing. A half-naked girl saunters down the hall. Her hair is puffy with too much hairspray. She's wearing a leather jacket and chaps. I've never seen her before. She slurs something at me, her eyes looking me up and down like I'm the help or something, before entering a room at the end of the hall. Biting my cheek, I fluff my hair a little and look down at my attire. White shirt from the academy and gray shorts. Shit. Crossing my arms to cover the logo of the academy, I slip out. I'm just going to look anyway, so there is no need to doll up. The hallway is dark, and a couple I don't recognize is making out against the wall. He has one hand up her shirt and the other down her pants. She looks bored as she plays on her phone. Stepping past them, I enter the mouth of the main action. Girls dance on the bar and men staring up at them like they're dancing from heaven. There's two men wrestling by the door that I don't recognize, and a girl just sniffed coke off the tip of Mac's dick. His tongue is sliding along the bottom of his lip as he watches her, his hand firmly on his shaft. He's thick from what I can see. It's thrilling to see. I've never seen anyone let loose like this before. Because I am law enforcement, most people keep it tame at parties I'm invited to. Scared I'll turn them in or something. My heart thunders at the wild scene unfolding in front of me. Like an adult pop-up book, everywhere you turn there's something else jumping at you that takes you by surprise. Everyone looks like they're having a good time, and I want to have a good time. I want to be a part of the wild that isn't afraid of me. I don't want to be tucked away in bed like a fucking grandma. Pushing through the crowd with my mind made up, I head back to my room to change. My eyes catch a glimpse of Gia dancing topless on a man's lap. She has a big rack for such a tiny girl. Bigger than mine, that is for sure. Taking a step further toward my room, I notice she's not dancing for just any man. It's Felix. His eyes slowly drift from her to mine, and I hold my breath. His hair is pulled up with strays falling into his dark eyes. His jaw ticks as his hands slide up the back of Gia. I quickly avert my eyes downward, taking a deep breath into my burning lungs. Making quick work of my feet, I return to my room. Tossing my shirt and shorts to the floor, I empty my bag in hopes I have something halfway decent. It won't be biker apparel, but maybe I grabbed something a little sexy. Grabbing a silky pair of red underwear, I notice they're too big to be panties and unfold it. It's a skimpy dress I bought a long time ago. I never wore it because Jillian said if you can fold it up and put it in your purse, it's not a dress. Perfect. I slide it over my body, the thin silk material painting my body perfectly. I toss my hair over my shoulder and spray some of my perfume on my collarbone. Heading to the bathroom, I pull open my makeup and apply a little dark eyeshadow. The bedroom door opens and shuts, and Rocky winds from the bed. Mascara in my hand, I continue to apply it to my eyelashes when a bare-chested Felix steps into the reflection of the mirror. His chest is so chiseled and defined, tattooed and hard. I bite my lip as I look down, anywhere but at the beast behind me. He's obviously claimed by Gia, and I'm not one to mess with someone else's man. "Where do you think you're going?" he asks, his voice husky. I lower my mascara wand and frown at his tone. What? You can go have a skank ride your lap, but I can't get my rocks off? I sneer. His jaw ticks, his hands balling into fists. You got it all wrong if you think I'm going to sit in here and play the good girl while you all have a good time. I laugh, continuing applying my makeup. In one large step, he's suddenly behind me, his hand striking out and fisting my hair harshly. I whimper, dropping my makeup,
my eyes snapping to his. I'm not afraid, not at all. In fact, my nipples bud to attention and my clit pulses with excitement at the control Felix is dominating. A change of pace for me, as I'm usually the one in control.
Maybe you forgot, but I forbid you to open those legs to any of my men. He grits into the back of my hair.
Didn't forget, just don't care. I seethe through the pain slicing through my scalp. His eyes flash with licks of heat, his left brow lifting. Thrusting his hips against my ass, my eyes nearly roll into the back of my head from the bulge pushing against me. Running his nose behind my ear, he smells me, and my mouth parts to allow the hard breath burning in my chest to escape. He's like a feral animal smelling his prey just before he tears into it, and for some reason, that has me dripping wet with anticipation.
"Aren't you with Gia?" I breathe heavily.
His eyes snap to mine in the mirror.
"I belong to no one," he retorts with hostility.
He kicks my legs apart, his knee pressing into my heat. It takes all my strength not to grind myself onto him. My mouth parts with a rush of sexual needs pulsing through me.
"When you're in my house, I say who you fuck," he whispers darkly. "Do you understand?"
"Yes," I whisper through clenched teeth, my eyes glaring at a man that is more than he lets on, one that comes off as a beast, but just might be something softer that only I can see. He brushes the nape of my neck, and the hairs on the back of my neck stand on end, my body wound tight as I white-knuckle the sink.
"Did it terrify you when you kissed me?" I ask,
and my lips suddenly ache to touch his again. His chest rises with one steady breath, his hair falling to his menacing eyes.
"Not as much as this," he growls.
He swirls his knees against my clit to grab my attention, and a quick gasp racks my body.
"Jesus,"
I moan, my fingers gripping the counter for strength. Crooking my head to the side, he runs his soft lips along the shell of my neck. Goosebumps lick up my arms, a shiver running down my back.
"Jesus can't help you now, dirty bird. You're in the den of the outlaws, and you're mine right now."
His words are threatening but promising, sexy but hateful. I want it all. He whips me around, my hair flinging in my face. He grabs the thin material of my dress and fists it like Tarzan just before he tears it apart like a goddamn napkin. My breasts bounce freely, my nipples hard and aching for his touch. My bold act of not wearing any panties giving him the full view of my waxed pussy. His eyes trail down my body, agonizingly slow. His expression not giving away that he likes what he sees or not. I squirm under his intrusive stare. Tucking his bottom lip in between his teeth, he trails a finger from my collarbone down between my breasts, slowly to my belly button. My stomach trembles from the soft but ample touch, as if I'm something he's never seen or touched before, but has been dying to.
"Are you sure you want to cross that line?" I breathe heavily.
His eyes snap to mine and narrow in on me. The forbidden desire that was once a slow ember, now an inferno.
"If you're going to be a slut, you're going to be one with me. Understand?" he insults.
"I'm nothing like Gia," I snap.
"I'm not a slut. I mean, not that he knows of, anyway."
Dipping his hand lower, his finger brushes over my mound, and my body bucks against him.
"Oh, I know. Trust me, I fucking know," he replies wolfishly.
He flicks my clit, and my whole body heats to a level I've never known it was capable of. I'm going to have this pussy dripping so wet that you're not going to care if I put it in your ass, your mouth, or this sweet little pussy. As long as you have my dick inside of you, he states arrogantly. My head falls back, my body grinding on its own accord against his hold. I thought you didn't fuck cops, I moan. He releases his hand from my clit and grabs me by the throat, his face inches from mine. A rush of something exciting and dark races through me with his hard grip around my throat. It angers me, but fuels me. I melt into his hold, granting him claim of my entire being. My world spins and I clench my eyes shut, trying to make sense of my body's reaction. You're no fucking cop, he seethes, and I can't help but look at him with a lost look. He always sneers at me in disgust that I'm a cop. What's different now? Why do you say that? His eyes flick between both of mine. You would have turned us in today if you were. He tilts his head to the side. Why didn't you? I swallow, his hold tight on my throat. I don't know, I whisper honestly. I have plenty of excuses as to why I didn't, but none of them justify why I really did it. I don't know why I turned around. Something inside of me told me to push my feet to turn around, and I did. Something dark and dangerous dwelling deep within my soul told me to look away. Letting go of my throat, he grabs me under the thighs. Using one hand, he clears the counter in reckless abandon of my makeup and toothbrush, all of it flinging around the bathroom. He plows my ass on the counter, and like a crazed animal, I lose control. Done with the games, done with what is right and wrong, my mouth smashes against his as my hands make work of his belt. He tastes of weed and whiskey. His lips are hard and demanding, his tongue taking no mercy as it explores my mouth. He pulls a condom from the back pocket of his jeans and rips it open with his teeth. My pussy throbs with what's to come. Using my feet, I push his jeans and underwear just down his ass, and his length springs free. It's big in girth and long in length. It's veiny, and the head is massive. My body tingles looking at it. He sheathes his cock in the condom. Setting each of my feet on the edge of the counter, I widen my legs for him, giving my pink, wet pussy to him fully. He rests his hand on my collarbone again and stills, his eyes on mine. It's a moment that neither of us speak, but something soft and sentimental passes silently. My nostrils flare in this moment, my heart drumming against my chest. Using his free hand,